Okay, welcome back. It's hour number two on Friday, the Jeff and Erica hour for you. We're going to bring some information that hopefully will be helpful in these very troubled times, which are obviously getting worse, unfortunately. And I don't want to sound negative, but I won't lie to anybody. They are getting worse. And I do think a lot of people are dying of a lot of different things now, many different things, all caused by the same issue, and that is the issue of the Department of Defense biological weapon called the vaccine, manufactured by Moderna and Pfizer. But it's a DOD weapon, and it's doing exactly what it was designed to do. Welcome back, young lady. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
Well, glad to have you back. If all of you out there really want to understand what the enemies of life and freedom are up to, and we have some real bad enemies out there, just try to watch. Listen to this program when Eric is on. We spend a lot of time on this. Watch what those dark demons are up to by way of trying to frighten and confuse people. They're stewing and constantly stirring the stew of fear and chaos, and they're trying to get them to eat that all the time. And it's working to a very large degree. Because people don't know. They don't have the facts. And lying can be done in so many different ways. Now, for example, the globalists, as you know, are once again pushing the graphene oxide is the big bad demon ruse, and you need to put that aside. We'd suggest you put it on the shelf. If it works for you and you're really excited about it and all that, fine. But we would suggest that you really put it aside. It's blocking your view. If you were somehow suckered into that issue, the GO or graphene oxide issue, you believe that graphene oxide is the deadliest part of the DOD so-called vaccine attack on humankind. And it's not. It is, simply isn't. No one, I don't think anybody of any credible stature has found any graphene oxide in any of the vials yet. Have they?
No, no. I mean, this was started by La Quinta Columna, and it has never been substantiated. Nobody has reviewed their methods. Nobody has confirmed their findings.
How did they get a free pass?
In fact, the opposite is true.
How did La Quinta Columna get a pass? They sure did.
I don't know. I have to think that, you know, you look at what we were on to immediately before this graphene thing took hold, and it was the spions, this issue of the iron oxide nanoparticles.
Yes.
And people were hot on the trail of this iron thing and the magnet thing, and then it was conveniently replaced with graphene, and it's been graphene ever since.
Just, yeah.
And it has not been substantiated. And in fact, the more reputable, credible laboratories that have looked at this, and there have been a number of them, are not finding it. They are finding signatures of carbon and oxygen, but that can be a range of things. There's many different types of what we call oxycarbons, oxocarbons, and carbon oxides. And this is not panning out to be graphene. I mean, there's cholesterol, there are lipids, and things of that nature, various salts and crystals, and there's heavy metals, unfortunately, but no graphene.
That's really hard for a lot of people to believe or to accept because they hear the opposite all the time.
All the time. It's drowning out almost everything right now. And it's got a very interesting, intriguing narrative to go along with it that is just absolutely mesmerizing people. And it's unfortunate because they're not going to understand what's been done to them, what's being done to them, and how to deal with it.
I don't hold out much hope for the great majority in this country to figure anything out. How can they? It's not their fault.
Right.
They're lied
right.
to 24/7. And if you
right.
continue the lie, people are going to begin to believe it. It's just, I don't know. It's very frustrating to watch this. As the mainstream media has very little to do with journalism, with honesty, with integrity, with professionalism. It's showbiz. It's a carnival act, is what it is. And now the globalists are also having their created opposition. And if you don't know what created opposition is, just understand that the major players in the so-called alt-news media are frauds. They are deep state to one degree or another. And any degree makes them compromised, okay? It doesn't matter how much or how little. Once they link up with a deep state, they're gone as a real source of information. So the globalists are now directing their created opposition to announce that there is suddenly no such thing as a spike protein, that all we are dealing with is some sort of a biological, synthetic AI, self-assembling, of course, parasite. So suddenly, the spike protein is now a biological self-assembling AI parasite. Good God. It's getting to be crazy. It's almost like they're saying, they're laughing it up in the back room. They're betting how stupid the people are and how much crap that they'll accept. And there seems to be no limit. I don't blame the people again. I just don't. They've been dumbed down through the government school system over the years to the point now where they're no longer proactive about life, about society, about living. They're just reactive. They react to stimuli. And if somebody repeats something over and over again, there are no spike proteins. And I don't want to mention any names. It doesn't matter. One of the big players is saying that now. There are no spike proteins. They're biological parasites. What the hell is a biological parasite? Synthetic at that. All right, to make matters even worse, get this one. The controllers and shills are now claiming all of those dubious nanostructures in the COVID vaccines, those little strange shapes and look like crystalline forms and things, are not self-assembling. Okay, keywords, self-assembling. All of those weird structures, those mystery evil structures in the COVID vaccines, the Department of Defense COVID non-vaccines, the Department of Defense biological weapon vaccines, they're not self-assembling. They are actually being built and constructed by teeny tiny micro nano machines. They're little machines in your body that are building those strange shapes. Did you know that, Erica? Little machines in these people's bodies? Well, we've been told. Look, this is getting to be more and more ludicrous by the day, period. Just be real careful when you see this stuff. Keep in mind that they're feeding us all. Well, I don't look at the flat screen, but they're feeding most everybody this diet of chaos and confusion. And they're using these word salads and these clever little words and word phrases. And then they're saying suddenly, well, there really are no spike proteins. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. They're ramping this up. They're ratcheting everything up. The chaos and confusion is boiling over the kettle now. It's just, that's their goal. Keep everybody confused so they will simply stop thinking at all and withdraw. And that's what people are doing. They're just giving up. They can't understand.
They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to turn.
How are they going to track all these little phrases and words? Nanomachines, self-assembling, biological AI, biosynthetic parasites. There are no spike proteins. The spike protein is the deadliest thing that humankind has ever concocted, created, or assembled. Okay? And it is really awful. And if we were to write a list up, and we'll probably do this at some point, and spell out all the different pathways and avenues by which the spike protein, it's more than real, can kill, you'd be shocked. It's not just one or two things. And lately, the latest thing now, they have launched a new war on the brilliantly effective ivermectin. Right? There are new warnings appearing on boxes, on labels, in news releases about how dangerous this is. It can be deadly and all the other. No. not unless they put something in it that's going to kill you. Ivermectin, in point of fact, is one of the most harmless of all the products ever released through the pharmaceutical industry. Ever. Ever.
Yeah, and it is relatively benign. But there is a campaign right now on many fronts. I know Pierre Corey is still battling, defending its use. There's continually, I just saw a couple today, blurbs in the news just saying that, you know, the latest study shows that it's completely ineffective for COVID. And then the scare tactics that, you know, a little bit of relief now, you're going to pay for it later, when, you know, in the form of cancer or neurodegeneration. They are definitely trying to scare people off it. And at least in some groups, they have a hard and fast policy of not discussing it at all as a remedy for anything.
So here's a forum or a group or whatever, a platform, a subject. Let's just say it's myocarditis, whatever, whichever group, tinnitus, it doesn't matter. And so what they do is they penetrate these groups with assets, deep state assets, and they get them to be where they're very influential in the group, and in some cases they take over the groups. And then people will get disgusted. And a lot of them will just quit. It's human nature. Why should I continue to participate in this group when I'm not going to get the truth out because my post will be blocked or deleted by the moderator because it didn't meet up with his or her standards, which is all deep state again. There's so much deep state here that people just, they wouldn't believe it.
Well, and they, a number of months ago, last year, they made no secret about hiring people to infiltrate these groups to influence the narrative.
That's right. I remember that story. They had an actual job description.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
So we are people... seeing it. It's, you know, with Facebook, they'll just take the group down if it gets us out of control, if it, you know, grows too big and begins gaining some momentum. But with these other ones, the MeWe and Telegram and these other ones, they will send a troll in, maybe more than one, to influence the narrative, if not outright control it.
No, exactly. I don't know where people are going to get reality. And when I see these big name doctors and scientists continue to refer to this as a vaccine or an experiment gone wrong, et cetera. No, nothing went wrong at all. It's performing brilliantly. It's doing exactly what the Department of Defense paid for with your tax dollars, you in America. It's doing precisely what it was designed and deployed to do. And kill people. And any of these doctors who don't say that, they're lying to you or they're stupid. Sorry, that's just me. I'm not speaking for Erica, but they really
I agree. At this stage of the game, it's gone on long enough. As I said, if there was any legitimacy to this as a vaccine or some sort of therapeutic, it would have been stopped long ago.
Oh, absolutely. It's being pushed. And what about these Bostonian scientists who created a new strain of SARS-CoV-2 that allegedly has an 80% mortality rate on the mice that were tested? They trialed it with mice, and 80% of the mice died.
Well, what they left out of that information, that press release, was that the original SARS-CoV-2 virus in these same mice was 100% lethal. So in 20% is actually a bonus.
The best way to look at this is to ask the question, why are they doing this at all?
My take on it is, they're doing that and much, much more, but why would they release this story at this time? And
precisely,
isn't it a coincidence that we currently have a vaccine that covers both of those strains, supposedly? Omicron and then the original Wuhan one. So just in case this thing escapes from the lab or begins circulating,
we
if you've
have no...
gotten this latest booster, you will be presumably protected, or at least that's the story.
You've got no. There is no vaccine. There is no booster to help augment the vaccine or enhance it in any way, shape, or form. These are biological weapons of death. Sorry.
Well, if you can convince the public that there's a new threat that would generate some interest in this booster that now not that many people seem to want. But if you
well, they'll continue to play the sheep.
Some fear.
They will.
Yes.
They'll fear condition them and continue to do so until they're down to the level of so-called humanoids that they want to have. These people are ruthless, merciless. They have no qualms about it, none at all. It's not a good situation. So the war on ivermectin, I'm not going to tell you out there what to do. We never do that. We will say that a normal tube, or it looks like a little syringe, of ivermectin for use in ridding horses of parasites and so forth is what is very commonly used by people. And I have never heard of one single side effect from that. But the labels on the boxes now are frightful.
Warning. I can imagine. I mean, these this manufacturers, don't want to be held liable for selling it to people if people are going to take it. But it appears to be one of the best things we have at this point to neutralize the spike. And so much has been written about it now. I mean, we know how it does it. And there's a rumor out there right now. People are being told that this is just suppressing symptoms of toxicity. No, this is actually neutralizing the spike.
I'm sorry.
Which is a biological toxin.
This is neutralizing the spike? You mean neutralizing biological synthetic AI self-assembling parasites? There are no such things as spike proteins.
Right.
That woman told me so. I saw her.
Well, people are going to believe what they want to believe. If that makes sense to them, then that's where they're at. You have to accept
that. Some of them are being paid to, quote, believe those things, I think.
Yes, I know.
All right. So if you've got ivermectin, and some people bought it from overseas markets in tablet form, some people have it in the horse paste form. If someone is real sick, I personally, if it were me, I would jump on it. And I think it's a must-have in your medicine cabinet or whatever else
it's
called.
Well, you remember what Nurse Anne had said about when ivermectin came on the scene during the COVID crisis, it was a game changer. And they were actually able to save people, whereas previous to that, they hadn't. They struggled. And then when it appeared as though they were actually turning the corner on this infection with these critically ill people, they took the ivermectin away and replaced it with what? Remdesivir?
Remdesivir. Yep.
So if that doesn't say it all.
It says it. It tells you the story. Okay. What else do we have to take care of here on this Friday night? And we can go over to our human folder.
Wrapping this up, we could read this nanotech ridiculousness. That.
Please. Yeah. This is a good one.
Okay, this is from a conversation in one of these groups. I'm wondering, an antidote against what? What is shedding on us? And here's the answer. Nanolipid particles. The self-assembling and replicating smart dust, a.k.a. spike protein, it's the graphene oxide injected with Hydra vulgaris water parasite eggs, which I understand from it, grows inside of your body and becomes a graphene hydroxide 5G frequency remote controllable outside of body influenceable network. and those are these weird white biological fibrous blood clots. It's from the head, what I know. But you can search for it on the Stu Peters Network.
Happy days ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. You just heard a mouthful of word salad. That's what that is. They threw everything they had in the kitchen sink into one paragraph and tried to make it sound like it was logical and connected. No, it's not. This is a joke, and the joke's on us. And it's the 20% we're trying to help. I'm worried that the 20% may end up being 10. There's no mercy here. People are shedding all over the place.
That's a monumental task to try to overcome that level of
Would you read that again? I want people just to hear. Now listen for the buzzwords, okay, the words that are commonly thrown around to explain away this situation, and listen to how they're all kind of just plugged into the same paragraph. It's really quite funny.
I'm afraid I might have closed it. Hang on.
All right. Well,
I'll get it back here. Hold on.
That was a dandy. These people use terms, terminology, words, and semantics to twist the meaning of words all the time. And a lot of them don't know what the hell they're talking about for openers. It won't stop them from talking. But then they get these keywords, self-assembling, right? Remember, things like that. But do remember now, they're telling us, there's a headline here, it's on the expose site, which I'm becoming a little more concerned about all the time. They're claiming that those strange things allegedly found in the vaccine vial, in the liquid, are not self-assembling. Remember, they've always said they're self-assembling. Everyone says self-assembling. They are being built now and constructed by tiny micro-nano machines in your body. And where these tiny micro-nano machines came from, no one's explaining. So, anyway, it's all getting to be beyond belief.
Well, the other word that's now being tossed around is this magnetic hydrogel.
Oh, that's a new
one. Yes. Somebody has dug up a patent that, you know, supposedly proves that this is what's in the vax, and not surprisingly, they have a remedy for it, which is EDTA. And if you're familiar with chelating agents, EDTA is a well-known chelating agent, mostly for lead. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, I'm sure, proffered at some point. And people will begin taking it. But I will tell you that if you start playing around with these chemical chelators, such as EDTA, and the other one that's available over the counter is DMSA, you could be in trouble because these things have a tendency to mobilize heavy metals and send them out through the kidney. And more than a few people have had their kidneys damaged playing around with these things. So just be aware. And there's no hydrogel in these vaccines. It's lipid nanoparticles, which is not the same.
You're ruining my whole day.
So, okay, I've got this thing again.
All right, now I want you all to listen to the words, please. These are a lot of key words in here. Everything but, I guess, AI hydrogel. Or what, you listen, see which words you hear.
Okay, what is shedding on us? And the answer, nanolipid particles, the self-assembling and replicating smart dust, a.k.a. spike protein. It's the graphene oxide injected with hydrovulgaris water parasite eggs, which, as I understand it, grow inside of your body and becomes a graphene hydroxide 5G frequency remote controllable outside of body influenceable network. And those are these weird white biological fibrous blood clots. Is from the head, what I know. But you can search for it on the Stu Peters Network.
Well, everyone, you'll be tested on this tomorrow morning, so study it. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And it's not going to stop. Oh, my. Okay. But just remember, though, that these are not self-assembling, these little strange structures that they claim are graphene oxide, among other things. They're being built and constructed by tiny micro-nano machines. Oh, and how do we find this out? Let me just pull this up real quick. Hold on. This is kind of cute, if cute applies. Okay, this is from the expose. Nanostructures in COVID vaccines are not self-assembling. They are being constructed by micro-machines. During an interview with Australian podcaster Maria Zee, Dr. David Nixon revealed a video of nanotechnology in Pfizer's COVID injections assembling. They are not self-assembling, Dr. Nixon explained, but rather they are being assembled by nanorobots and micro-machines. The work of these robots is happening at such a slow pace, however, that the work they're doing isn't detected unless the video is played at about 100 times normal speed. To demonstrate, Dr. Nixon condensed his 3-hour video into about a minute. You see this? Is this science, Erica?
It's incredible. As I said, this is amusing.
Dr. David Nixon is a general practice, he's a GP, based in Brisbane, with a special interest in diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and the management of long-term conditions. In a previous podcast with Maria Zee, Dr. Nixon revealed his findings of nanotechnology inside the COVID injections. He also discussed how protecting the vials inside a Faraday bag stopped the structures from forming. But wait, they're not self-assembling. Remember, they're being constructed by micro-machines and nanorobots. I wonder how the Faraday bag works. A Faraday bag is used to block out electromagnetic radiation, e.g. signals sent between cell phones. You can read more here and watch this earlier podcast here. In his latest revelations, Dr. Nixon played a video he had taken of the contents of a vial of Pfizer's COVID vaccine. He placed approximately 4 drops of Pfizer vaccine on a glass slide, placed it under a microscope at 200 power, and filmed the slide for 3 hours. Question, can you see nano at 200 power?
No.
Thank you.
Not even close.
In real time, it appears nothing is happening. But look at what happens when I speed this up, said Dr. Nixon. It's apparent we're dealing with something completely different from self-assembling. This is nano-construction. It's not assembling itself. It's essentially, I guess, micro-construction. I can't go on. That's enough. Okay. Here is a human story. This is and we do ask rhetorically and otherwise, how often do you hear the term amyloidosis anymore? Well, you don't. It's not out there. Amyloid, amyloid clots, amyloidosis of the brain, the heart, the lung, the kidney. No, doesn't happen. This gentleman wrote in, this is a one single that we missed in a big block. I have recently been diagnosed with amyloidosis, which is really affecting my kidneys. Following a bone marrow biopsy, it was confirmed that I have multiple myeloma. And it is this which is driving the amyloidosis. To be given this diagnosis at the age of 44 is absolutely devastating. Is the prognosis bleak when you have both amyloidosis and multiple myeloma? I would love to hear from people who have the same diagnosis as me. So there you go. I think they have it kind of backwards. The multiple myeloma is not driving the amyloidosis. It's the other way around, if anything. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah, I would say so. Amyloidosis generally comes before. That's my understanding. That's not my area of expertise, but I believe amyloidosis can progress to multiple myeloma and not the other way
Correct.
Around.
That's
a bone marrow issue. It's a bone marrow issue. That's young. I mean, usually the age of onset is 60, 65.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to have an epidemic of people just like this. But don't forget, Pfizer's got a cure in Vyndaqel.
Well, I've got plenty of Vyndaqel.
That's the drug, the oral drug that will... It's not going to break up these amyloid clots, but it will hopefully prevent more from forming to the tune of about $225,000 a year.
Shameless. No, these people are incredible, beyond belief. All right, let's jump into our little human file. We're finding out now, by the way, that oral health, dental health, orally speaking, is becoming a problem for a lot of people. And we haven't heard too much about this. So Erica dug up several examples, and why don't you go ahead?
Hi, guys. To everyone who has complained about toothaches and tooth abscesses after getting the shots and wondered if that was a reaction, yes. It showed up as an adverse event in the Pfizer documents. They just released June's documents, and it's there. I remember telling people to get to the dentist, that it being because of the shot or low. But it is listed as an adverse side effect. Someone says to that, and be very careful. I had a friend who was jabbed. He went in for a routine root canal and ended up dying from septic shock. Coincidence? I don't think so.
This is getting to be just beyond belief. Question. Obvious answer, but if you go to the dentist, ladies and gentlemen, and the dentist and the dental assistant are within, you know, a foot, 18 inches of your face, your nose, your mouth, they're in your mouth, obviously there's blood involved, or your body fluids are being... Well, you know how when you get probed, you spit out and there's blood, et cetera. And you're inhaling lots of things. You're being touched with equipment that hopefully has been sterilized, but can a 220-degree autoclave sterilize a dental instrument from spike protein? I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
Point is,
I don't know if anybody
you go
has,
to the dentist,
has put out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in and of itself a prion, but it has prion domains in it.
Right.
That, you know, we know the UV light does not degrade those proteins, those peptide sequences that can form or cause your proteins to misfold. So that's a bit worrisome.
How safe is it to go to a dentist now? For you dentists out there, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just asking questions. I know they take, good dentists will take precautions, but even a mask, we all know that masks are not the greatest, but they can help in a relatively loosely structured environment, like walking through a supermarket, probably going to be okay. But if you've got somebody leaning over you, and I've been in the dental chair, and many of you have, and you can smell the breath of the dentist, whether he or she has been using mouthwash, which is, you know, nice, considerate. You can smell things. So my question is, that kind of close contact with people who have been injected, how smart is that?
And I don't know if these... the dental profession is still using the PPE, the shields, the face shields. Probably depends on the office.
I would think so. Okay, that's it. So we have dental issues now beginning to show up with more frequency after the injections have been given. The Department of Defense bioweapon injections, I should add. All right, next, number two. Oh, my God. Nobody wants to believe me. I've been through hell and back. 13 cavities in 2 months after the second shot, including two infected abscessed root canals, and one didn't work, so a huge molar extraction followed. Oh, things happen, they say. Just stuff. Bullshit. 13 cavities do not suddenly just happen when you go to the dentist religiously every 4 to 6 months. So the dentist explained with long COVID, which the vaccine is similar to, both cause massive inflammation. That inflammation causes the blood vessels in your face to narrow, which causes a decrease of saliva, which causes dry mouth, which I still have regarding the vaccines, which causes sudden onset cavities. So there you go. Watch Tam and Trudeau, Witch Tam, W-I-T-C-H as in Halloween witch, Tam and Trudeau need to pay. The $25,000 this is costing me. As I still have an implant to do now, and given I still have dry mouth from this, well, who knows? And I don't know if there's any more to it than that. It seems to stop right about there. But this person, I mean, come on. He goes to the dentist every 4 to 6 months, or she, I don't know, it's Ruth, to make sure her teeth are perfect. And all of a sudden, after getting the Department of Defense bioweapon injection or injections, she ends up 13 cavities. 13 between one visit to the next. Well, there goes Erica. Hope we can get her back this time. If I disappear again, I don't know. So we're just talking about cavities after getting vaccinated. That's the topic here. Ah, we got you back.
I'm back.
All right. No threats, I hope.
Not that I heard.
All right. 13 cavities in 2 months after her second shot. Incredible. All right, next.
A friend who is a dental hygienist says she can tell who is vaxxed by looking at their gums. She wrote up a bunch of info and pictures and sent it to the people that should have been concerned, but they just ignored it. And someone says, oh, wow, I wonder what shows up. And then we have a picture. And looks like a healthy set of teeth and a diseased set of teeth.
Is this supposed to be the same person?
Or is this just an example?
You think so? Wow, the teeth. If it's true, the dentin on the teeth, the white, in the second picture, is now dark gray, no longer shiny white. The gums look clearly different. I didn't get a description on that last story about how a dentist can tell, or someone can tell, looking at someone's gums if they've been injected or not. Did I miss something?
The picture speaks 1,000 words. I mean, you can see a distinct difference between those two. So,
yeah.
It is. It's probably the result of the vasculature, the microclotting going on, and I would contend also that this free iron issue is also feeding pathogenic bacteria that can destroy the teeth and gums.
Dental health is gone. The mouth is full of bacteria. And now with so much free iron, running around loose. Huh? Bacteria, well, they love iron. A lot of them do anyway.
Yep.
So that could be the cause of this sudden, nearly instantaneous, as it were, degradation of oral health. It's rather shocking.
Yeah, that's 13 cavities? Holy moly.
In two months.
Yeah.
After the second shot. Okay, here we have one on ivermectin benefits. You want to take that?
That's more informational.
All right.
Just a list that someone put together.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we skip that one?
Sure.
All right. Next up, shedding. Shedding. Go ahead.
I've got to find it here.
It's the first one that says shedding. And the first group you put up today.
Okay. Is anyone else disappointed and frustrated by the fact that many, even in the unvaxxed community, scoff at the idea of shedding? The whole shedding thing has been utterly swept under the carpet by most. I have been accused on so many occasions of being fearful, hatefully discriminating, etc., for having to avoid jabbed people. These comments are from unvaxxed people. Yet if someone avoids peanuts because they have a peanut butter allergy, everybody is so understanding.
Good point.
I know so many people who don't believe it's real because they haven't had any symptoms themselves. Similar to how many don't believe that direct jab injuries are real because they had the jab and didn't have any issues. Typical idiocy, basing truth on one's experience rather than on reality. When I tell them the repeated symptoms I've had, they just don't believe it. Or when they do believe it, they sort of just sweep it under the carpet. It's similar to how many reacted to direct jab injuries. They respond without any empathy or care. It's ruined a lot of my relationships and severely affected my mental health, which was already bad before this whole shit show. Unfortunately, I don't know anyone in person who takes the shedding thing seriously, so it's nice having this group, at least, where there are people who actually understand. I'd like to see more public awareness made on the shedding topic, at least within the alternative communities where you'd expect some understanding. There are people who literally can hardly go out in public anymore because their body reacts so badly to it. I thought my reactions were bad, but there are people with a lot worse, and I think some more public awareness on why some people have to avoid jabbed persons would be helpful.
Okay, again, one of the leading shedding platforms has been penetrated, and that's very unfortunate. This is, as that particular individual wrote, a growing and very serious issue. We've been saying it for a long time here. Don't discount it. Don't demean it. Don't laugh at it. It's quite real. And what do we do about it? Well, we wear gloves when we go into stores and so forth. Keep a pair in the car. Urge all of you to do that. Just lightweight gloves, whatever. Get one of the Valera units for around your neck. We always wear that when we're out. Wear a mask, always, in public. Even if it's only worth a 10% improvement in your chances of not getting contaminated, take that 10%. It's a freebie.
Yep.
Okay. Now what do we have here? Go ahead with the next one. Let me take the next one, whatever. All right. Okay. The woman that wrote the post that Erica just read finishes up, is anyone else disappointed and frustrated by the fact that many, even in the unvaxxed community, scoff at the idea of shedding? The whole shedding thing has been utterly swept under the carpet, she said. And this person writes, not sure how old this comment is, but this is very similar to my experience, and it is reassuring to hear someone else's voice voice these concerns. Thank you. It seems most awake people still not affected by shedding, yet However, I've experienced enough secondary shedding from awake people to know that spikes are building up in their bodies as they don't make attempts to avoid the vaxxed. It can surely only make them ill at some point. Then, I suppose, it will be public. In the meantime, I am sinking into suicidal depression due to the 2 years of isolation caused by shedding and avoiding people, and don't know how to resolve it. Antidotes not going well. Anyone else out there feeling suicidal due to being imprisoned in a small room for an extended period of time due to these hordes of selfish zombies poisoning our world?
Yeah, that's tough, but that's where some people are at with this. They literally cannot interact with the public without experiencing severe symptoms.
What do we think? Do we think that they've reached, we'll call it a threshold. They've gotten exposed. Go ahead.
I think that some of these people probably have, my guess would be, underlying mold infections. And they can be for mostly symptomatic until you have a challenge like this with some other toxin. Mm-hmm. So I think they've set the stage to react in a very inflammatory way towards this type of insult, this type of toxic insult.
Which is probably a spike protein. We think the spike
is what's... whatever other chemicals are coming off these
people. Whatever others, yes.
We believe that, I mean, there's reason to believe there's VOCs, volatile organic compounds. These oxidized lipids, they release VOCs. And this is a chemical concoction in these things. So however these things are being metabolized by the body and then by the bacteria that live in the body, they could be producing toxins that these people react to.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, take the next one.
All right, one more reply to that initial one. I do know most of us are feeling alone and isolated in one way or another. I have lost so many people because they think I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist. My own daughter kept my granddaughter from me, my very first grandchild, because I wasn't vaxxed. We see her now, but I think I have health issues as they were boosted and never told me. Even good friends that are sort of awake think I'm crazy. Hang in there. This stuff will be revealed soon, and there will be help.
Well, this stuff will be revealed soon, and there will be hell. What's going to happen? This is very unfortunate. And again, apparently a lot of people are reaching a limit that their immune system or their body can handle, and or they're now hypersensitized to the spike protein being thrown off by someone else, or the mRNA, which we hope is not the case, and other things. So they're picking things up, there's no doubt. You cannot go into a closed environment, a building, an office, a room, with others who have been the recipient of 3, 4, 5, 6 injections of this biological weapon and not be exposed and not eventually, apparently, get sick. That's what we're hearing.
Yeah, I think it is silent for the most part until it's not. We had that story the other day of the person that was in good shape, exercised, had a healthy heart, healthy vascular system, and suddenly they began experiencing heart issues and needed a ablation to fix it.
And the ablation doesn't seem to work in many cases.
That should be a last resort. I mean, I'm not an advocate of that. That's a very, I think, violent solution.
Well, I know one woman who had one, and she wishes she hadn't had it. She didn't know what was causing it.
Yeah, a lot of times it does not fix the problem.
No. She didn't know it was the biological weapon she was injected with. It caused the heart palpitations and racing heart and everything else. All right, here's one more from the next group. Multiple issues post-vax. You know which one that is? That's October 26th. Multiple issues post-vax. All right. Not all, but many, many I work with. 600 who get dosed. 600 people who got dosed. First double shot, breast cancer. Double shot, kidney cancer. Double shot, leukemia. Bladder cancer. Crohn's. Diverticulitis. Blood transfusions. Blindness. Deafness. Difficulty ambulating. Triple shot. Autoimmune disorder. Chronic bloody nose. 90-year-old woman menstruating. Also an 80 and 70-year-old. Lots of heart disorders. Deaths have doubled. Two died 24 hours after getting their 22-year getting their flu shot. Sepsis is up. They get COVID over and over. Doctor runs have quadrupled. And Friday I learned a coworker has lymph, thyroid, liver, and prostate abnormalities. Fill in the blanks. There you go. Just a few among the 600 this person works with, a few stories. So that's why I suggest that tens of thousands of Americans could be dying every day. It's perfectly within reason.
Yeah.
Because they'll simply go into their basket of cause of death names and grab a tag and put it on that person's chart. They can do anything. And now mortuaries, apparently, what did you hear about mortuaries?
Apparently, they're being inundated with the deceased and cannot keep up with the embalming, partly because there's so many, but also because the clots are making it, you know, inordinately difficult and to do these things with
embalming.
Any efficiency.
Can't do it.
It's taking too long, and I guess many are being encouraged to have their loved ones cremated.
Wait till they find out that corpses shed. Then you're going to see moon suits for all who work in the funeral industry. You watch. You'll see BSL-3 minimum, I bet. And I think that's coming. It'll probably be leaked out through the industry first as a national memo to all funeral home operators. You need to protect your personnel, and we have reason to believe that those who have died, and if there's a vaccine profile involved, you need to take care of your employees by having them appropriately, well, PPEs, right?
I would think. I don't know what the standard, gear is for embalming people. I would think they'd take some precautions.
You would think. Well, they did during the height of the AIDS, the original AIDS crisis.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very, very stringent, like 10, 12-page letter sent to all funeral home owners and operators about protecting employees and what not to do with the deceased, like, you know, touch them in any other way that is absolutely, you know, at arm's distance, and just be careful. So we'll watch that one, too. Okay, I guess that's it for tonight. Anything else you want to add?
No.
The war on ivermectin, that's disgusting.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
So they're also apparently trying to hang up their very familiar phrase of self-assembling. No. They're a tiny
nano. Magnetic hydrogel, right. Okay.
I like that one. I got to remember that. Magnetic hydrogels. Items that they claim are being found in the COVID vaccines, if you accelerate the video 100 times, you'll see them being built and constructed by tiny micro nano machines. It's getting to be more ludicrous by the day. All right, hang on, everybody. It's a rough ride ahead, but we'll be here for you. And always glad to hear from you, too. All right, partner, talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Good night, everyone.
Hey. And we'll be right back with hour number three for you next.